Please make yourselves comfortable. In a second, I'm going to ask you a question, and it might feel like a trick question. I promise you that it's not. Our gospel today is Nicodemus and Jesus. And Nicodemus, we're told, comes under the cover of night. Why do you think that is? He doesn't want to be seen by other people?
To take Jesus off guard.
To take Jesus off guard?
He was a seeker, even though he wasn't supposed to be.
He was secretly seeking Jesus. He was afraid of what that would do if people found out.
He was a night owl.
He was a night owl. Maybe he just missed the morning debate with Jesus and he wants to get his own in. Yeah, he forgot to change his clock. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is here. Scripture doesn't tell us why. So we are left with this question. Why Nicodemus? Why at night? And I think it's a really important question for how we respond and interpret the rest of this passage. Because this is really the Nicodemus story we have. There are other people we have lots and lots and lots of stories about. We have letters and letters and more letters from Paul. We have letters that are attributed to other disciples. We have just like a store of Peter making a fool of himself stories. Just a full storage, like all of those. We get Judas stories. We get all these other stories. This is the story we get about Nicodemus. And we only get like these precious few details about Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and he was there at night. That's it. So what we make of that, I think, shapes what we do with the rest of this passage. And this is an important passage, both because it's Jesus talking, and when Jesus talks, it matters, and because this is a passage that has verses that have been used to hurt people. And how we talk about them and how we think about them matters a little bit extra. I like to pay attention to the parts of Scripture that have been used as weapons, because those are the parts of my faith, and I love Scripture, that if I'm not careful with, I can hurt people without realizing that I'm doing it. And I don't want to use this thing I love in that way. So maybe Nicodemus didn't want to be seen. Maybe he's hiding out from the Pharisees. He's having some sort of dispute with them. He wants a private audience with Jesus. What does that tell us about the rest of this? Maybe he just missed the morning debate. He's a night owl. He didn't set his clock back or ahead or whatever it is we do with clocks. I don't understand switching time. I just try and have my clock on the right time and do what it says. And he just wants to get like his story of his debate with Jesus in the record. He succeeded like a lot. How many other Pharisees do we have names for? Like A plus for Nicodemus, if that's what he was going for. But what does that tell us about how to understand the rest of this? Is this Jesus talking to someone who might secretly be a disciple? Is this Jesus talking to someone who is here to trip him up? How does Nicodemus feel when he shows up? Is he running late? Does he feel resentful that Jesus is there and showing up the Pharisees? He's amassing this crowd and Nicodemus hasn't. Is he anxious? Does he see how the Romans are talking about Jesus? And he's worried that if Jesus says the wrong things, the kind of things Jesus says to him here, this will lead to a Roman reprisal against the entire state of Palestine? We don't know. You get to make a choice. And you don't have to make it just once. This is one of the things I love about Nicodemus, because we know so little. You can come to this text with a different answer for what the subtext is every day. So here's my next question for you. I don't want you to answer this one because I don't want to put you on the spot. How do you feel this morning when you come to church, when you come to Jesus in this on this day, in this sort of public way? Are you excited? Are you a little resentful? Are you a little tired and extra tired because we all had to like monkey with our clocks? Are you hoping your neighbors didn't notice? Are you hoping your neighbors did notice? How does that change what Jesus says this morning for you? There are a few things we know sort of about the broader text. We know that the crowds were sort of a 50-50 gamble. Sometimes they were for Jesus, sometimes they weren't. If Nicodemus is coming in the middle of the night to avoid the crowds, what does that tell us about how people need to come to Jesus sometimes? That inviting them here on Sunday morning, maybe not a good idea? This is perhaps a hard place for them to first encounter Jesus. If Nicodemus is there because he is scared of what Rome is about to do, how does that change the verse so many of us love at the end of this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because that's good news. Unless the Romans are going to kill you because of it. And let's be clear, Rome was not a benevolent dictator. They are the people who created the word decimate, where they would kill 10% of a rebellious population. In that context, this promise Jesus makes us, makes everyone who follows him, is pretty ominous. There's a lot that can go on in this passage, and there's a lot to love. I think, at least this morning, I like to think Nicodemus is just like the student who keeps asking for extra credit. He was there that morning at the debate with Jesus, and he really enjoyed it, so he came back for, like, round two. Because it was a lot of fun, and why let it stop? You guys know who those people are. Every one of you, I guarantee, is related to at least one of them. Yeah, you know it. He thought this was the best, most fun game. It's like theological debate camp with a master, and he was here for it. And then Jesus said something, and he was like, wait, what? This whole born from above thing, like, that's not how it works, Jesus. Did you miss biology yesterday? That's not what Jesus is doing here, though. Jesus isn't engaging in theology for fun. It is fun to engage in theology. I might be over-identifying with Nicodemus here. That's okay. Jesus is here to do something else. Jesus is here to tell Nicodemus things that are true. And what Jesus says is true regardless of the context around them. What Nicodemus is promised by Jesus doesn't change. If you're having a good day or a bad day, if you have come to Jesus scared and anxious about everything that is going on in the world around you, whether that's Roman guards or strange viruses we don't understand, or financial insecurity, or just the stress of dealing with people all week, Jesus makes this promise. And I love how he frames it. For the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus says this because he knows that it is true and that when we take it seriously, which is hard to do, and when we write Nicodemus off, when we think we know everything about this passage, when we don't sit there with sort of curious hearts and minds and allow ourselves to be impacted by this story, the story that we think we know, we miss this ability to be saved by this story that we do know. The story of God who became human, who became like us, because God loves us and wants to save us. When we go out into the world, when we walk away, we miss the opportunity to carry that promise with us, that promise that the truths we have, when we hold them well and carefully and with love, are there not to condemn our families and our friends and the strangers on our streets and in our towns, but to save them. And that we have a responsibility for how we behave and interact, that it is a way those people can begin to see the love of God, which is not a love which condemns. I wonder what it was that made Nicodemus think he could sneak into Jesus' rooms at night. Because that is a bold choice. I wonder what it was about Jesus that left Nicodemus convinced he would be welcomed and entered into discussion with, and not kicked out because Jesus needed that hour of sleep. I don't think I'm as good as Jesus is here, folks. And I wonder how we go out into the world around us, carrying this message that we love, ready to be entered into dialogue with, because there's actually one more thing we know about Nicodemus. We don't know what happens between now and then. We don't know what conversations Nicodemus has with anyone else. But we know that after Jesus dies, Nicodemus is one of the people who go to collect his body. To give him a proper Jewish burial. That whatever begins here in this room in the middle of the night with strange promises about birth and about saving the world doesn't end when Nicodemus leaves. We carry this same promise out into the world, just like Nicodemus. The same, hopefully, invitation to discussion and relationship that Nicodemus is willing to do crazy things to get. When people sneak into other people's houses and places of dwelling and work in the middle of the night, we have words for those and we have laws to deal with them. And at the end of this story, well, not quite the end of the story, Nicodemus is willing to show up again. I think, I hope, it is because he took these promises, these strange, potentially scary, definitely life-altering promises of Jesus seriously. And as he carried them around inside him, they began to change him and to change the world around him. Because I believe that when we do those same things, we carry this promise Jesus offers us, that the role of God in our world is to save the world and to save us. That our God is not a God who condemns, but a God who loves. It saves us, and it helps us change and save the world around us. This week, I'm sending you out into a world that is newly anxious. As you walk around in it, as you see people wondering what the right thing to do is, please remember that the right thing to do is to love them. That is the beginning of the salvation of God, for them to know that they are loved, just as you are, by the God who made everything and redeems everything. Amen.